Hello, everybody. We are gathered here today for another session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English. This is the 163rd session, and today's session we are joined by Venerable Rohini. I warmly welcome Venerable Rohini to this session, and everyone who is joining via Zoom, via Facebook live chat. Live stream or anyone who will be watching later. Today's session, as usual, will commence with an in-session practice of mindfulness, which will be followed by today's topic by Venerable Rohini, and then we will have time for any reports and questions by anyone. So to begin today's session, I warmly welcome Venerable Rohini to start the in-session practice of mindfulness.
Thank you, Sonali. According to Sonali's knowledge of history about the program, so we are due for mindful walk. So we will start with mindful walk. So I think everybody knows what is mindful walk, and most of you are practicing it daily, maybe. So today we are going to do the same, but I will ask some different techniques to use just to try. So we will use some different techniques. Techniques means not that big as the word is big, but just what do you need to do? Today we are not going forward only, so we are using the backward motions as well. So wherever you find to walk comfortably without any distractions from furniture or anything, wherever you are. So if you can go to outside, walk on grass or walk on a bare earth, that's good. If you can't find that kind of place, it's better to have at least inside the home, like a corridor or something like that, without any distractions from furniture or any other. So when you find that kind of place, a path to walk, as I always say, in the corner, the one end of, in standing in the one end of the path, you can observe while you are closing your eyes, you can observe your standing posture. The observing posture is one of the way that we can practice mindfulness. It is in scripts as well. So observing posture is making some kind of easier. It is easy to rather than observing subtle things. So it is like when you are standing up, you can feel your whole body weight is holding by the legs. So you can feel it. So it is a gross feeling. So you can keep your attention in there rather than very subtle things. So once you are focusing on your standing posture, so you will find some kind of relief before mind is going everywhere to past and future and do things and about people and lot of things. Now when you are observing the posture, the standing posture, then it will be easy, or it may come to the body, it may come to the focal point wherever you feel prominent feelings. So when you once you did that kind of exercise for 1 minute or so, or 2 minutes, depends on you. So you can take as long as you can or you want, because it help you to practice mindful walk. So once you finish, then you can open your eyes and start to walk back and forth where you choose. So when today we are going to do the, when you go back, when you go forward to the one direction and you are not turning there, instead you can come back without turning. So you are walking backward. The front for one side forward, facing the real face where you walk. The coming back is doing backward walking. So you are not facing to the path. So you need to be very careful, and you need to take care, extra care, to not to distract with the walls or any other. So you have to be very, very mindful to go come back. So going forward in a normal way, and then you are not turning. Instead, you are coming backward. So you can observe while you are coming backward. You can observe what kind of or where the sole is touching first. Where is the end? How you feel your muscles contractions and other stuff while you are walking forward and backward. So you can compare them later if you want. So right now we will start doing mindful walk with backward and forward motions. So thank you. We will meet in 15 minutes after mindful walk. Okay, everyone. We can go back to the session.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. We will move on with our session today. We have a new topic today, and I will warmly welcome Venerable Rohini again to start the topic. I think today's topic is egocentrism, and we have a topic poster which I have shared at the beginning. I can share again. It is the new topic for the next 2 weeks. So over to you, Venerable Rohini.
Thank you, Sonali. The topic is egocentrism. And poster write-up was when the path you walk always leads back to yourself, you never go anywhere. So that is egocentrism. So the poster write-up, when we go through the poster write-up, if you start a journey and that always leads towards you, then it goes circling again and again. So it is no end or no achievement or no anywhere to end. So that is the poster write-up. If we think about that today's society, today's society, egocentrism is a common character, I think. Most of the time, we see that because of the competitive world, the competitive society. So most of the people are selfish, and than before actually, the society itself is dragging into that egocentrism individually. So I think like that because of the many things we can hear, and especially in third world countries. So, because of the highly competitive education system and competitive working places, all those things are helping to drag the egocentrism. So, this is a suitable topic for us to talk, and because we can talk how we can overcome that kind of behavior or that kind of mentality. So usually egocentrism may hide individuals' abilities. So when you are more selfish, more egoistic, then most of the abilities you can develop is redundant. So like connections with others. So if you want to have a meaningful connections with others, then you have to have a kind of empathetic view or kind of compassionate view. But egocentric people, they don't have that. So egocentric people usually shows a meaningful, no meaningful connections and no meaningful relationships as well. They can't contact, they can't develop meaningful connections, so that leads not to have a meaningful relationship as well. And they don't show empathy as well. So that means egocentric person hide away their ability to show those skills, the empathetic skills and making relationships and making connections with others and providing their own fruitful ideas to society. Those are restricted with the egocentric mind. Just imagine, so if you are going through a vibrant city, a beautiful city, full of excitements, full of things are there, like beautiful colors, sounds, people, they all are very happy and very, they are buzzing with life. But egocentric person, they can't absorb it. They can't soak into that. So what is happening? They just focused on how it affects to you or what you can gain from that city. That's all they can think of. So that's all they can think. That leads, for example, if that person is passing that vibrant city, they may be, or that person may be losing the incredible artwork, a striking architectural structures, or friendly faces, the tastiest foods. All those are he or that person may lose because of the egocentric, because he is looking for what can I gain from there. So not what can I have or what how can I enjoy, not like that. So always his focus is to gain something from the society or from the environment itself. So that leads to have less connection with people and you can't break that, so that openness is not there. So that all together leads that person to have emotional sufferings. So suffering is always there, but truly the egocentric person has emotional sufferings than normal people, because that person has always I and me concept. They always think about I and myself, me, mine. These are the one their thoughts and emotions are built up with. Because of that, they can't enjoy whatever they have, or they can't enjoy looking for some energetic things, some beautiful things. Instead, they were looking for how can I gain that. For example, if you see something, that person, the egocentric person, want to have it more and more maybe. So they maybe don't think about the others that he can share with. Because of this kind of behavior or this kind of thought patterns, the person who is with egocentric view or who is having egocentric personality, they miss a lot of things. They miss friendships. They miss a lot of social awareness. So these are leading for that person to have emotional sufferings, emotional distress. So normally the behavior of egocentric person we can explain like this. Usually their decisions are made through lens of how they impact you. That person's decisions are always reflect how that kind of, or how that incident, or how that person, or how that environment impact on that person. So he is only thinking myself, how can I gain, or how that environment impact on myself. So that is one thing. The other thing is relationships can reflect their image only. So it is not reflecting diverse viewpoints. So they can't provide many viewpoints. They can't think any viewpoints. The other's viewpoints is so neglected. They only think, okay, I am thinking like this and it should be like that. So that is the second thing I can say the egocentric person will show. And the other thing is world view and actions are entirely self-oriented. He thinks everything is centered with him. So he is in the middle and everything is surround, everything is moving around him. So it's like everything is moving around earth. So he is the earth and everything is moving around himself. So that is also a way back, or that is a kind of restricting his success. Restricting his achievements. So these are very badly affect for the egocentric person. And also they become trapped within their limited perspectives. They have only limited perspectives because all the perspectives are based on themselves or myself. The other thing is that they are unable to break the loop of their thoughts and behaviors. They always think, it is a thinking pattern is always centered with him. So that means his thinking, background thinking or background thoughts are related to self awareness. Oh, only the not awareness actually, sorry, but that person has self view strongly. So he is thinking everything centered by him. So that limitation trapped his thought. That limitation restrict his thoughts. So that because of that he can't break that loop of thinking. The bad thinking, he can't break it. The other thing is they believe their feelings, thoughts and necessities are the only thing that should be considered or that should be mattered. So that is also one thing we can see from a normal, from a behavior of egocentric person. The other thing is those egocentric thoughts can lead to self-centered behavior, a lack of empathy for others, and difficulties in communication and relationship buildings. So these are the characteristics we can see from an egocentric person. So if we can explain a little bit more about this, usually when we see something, we say we see. When we hear something, we say we hear. So when we taste something, we say, okay, I taste it. And I felt it. And I thought about it. So we say things when we see or hear or taste or whatever we do, we explain it in a way. Either we like it or we don't like it. Usually, if we see something, for example, if we see a butterfly, that can be a pleasurable feeling gives us. So then we say, okay, I saw a beautiful butterfly. And we usually we attracted to that, the colors or the shape of the butterfly. So normal people, normal person, just think about the butterfly. That it is a colorful butterfly. It's flying very freely. And it make a beautiful surrounding. So that's all maybe a normal person think. But the egocentric person, they wanted to have it by themselves. Maybe they wanted to take it to the home. Maybe they wanted to keep it in a cage. So usually, for sometimes the border securities, Australia, New Zealand, UK, the border security, they find some people are bringing snakes or any reptiles or something like that from some countries to their own country. So although it is restricted, they try to bring. Why? They wanted to bring that because they can't stop but seeing, okay, it's a beautiful one, and it making a very vibrant surrounding in very vibrant environment, but still they can't leave it. They wanted to take it. So it is a kind of selfish, or it's a kind of egocentric decisions, I think, because they know it is a restricted thing. But they wanted to do it. So, for example, that one. Also, when we hear some songs or something, if it is very attractive, so we wanted to keep it. Sometimes, some people very attracted to singers. They wanted to have them with them at home. So, like that, there are many, many things we can give as example. So this is what egocentric person is. Normal person, they see things, they read things, they hear things, they taste things, but they are just enjoying at that time and they forget it. Maybe in once in a while they can remember, okay, we had some kind of food in back in India or somewhere, so it was so nice. They can have the enjoyable discussion about that. But the egocentric person, they are not like that. They want to have it, and they are without that, they feel like, okay, I am not going to have any satisfaction or anything. So in that sense, they are in a suffering mode all the time. because most of the time they can't achieve their desires because they are not reasonable. When they don't have reasonable desires, when they don't have reasonable expectations, they are not achievable. So when they are not achievable, they are always suffering. So the mind is always suffering. So that is one thing about the egocentric persons. So to overcome what we can do, that is the most important thing. So as I said, the self-view is so strong with the egocentric person. The self-view need to be dissolved or need to be sort of like, okay, it come and go. We are not having a very strong self-view. If we don't have, it is okay. Then it is so easy to cooperate with other people and in the society. But when we have very strong self-view, then we need to find to understand who I am. If someone can understand who I am, then it is easy to correct if there is any wrong. So to understand who I am, we need to practice mindfulness. If we are practicing mindfulness, like today we try to practice mindful walk. So while we practicing mindful walk, I ask to go forward in a normal way and then backward, not facing the other way. So when we do that, so you can understand the body, how the body is working when you go forward and how your body is working when you are coming backward. So those things are very easy to understand and very easy to observe for a mindful person. When the mindful person is observing those things, they can understand, or that person can understand, this is not permanent and the body is always changing. So the person understand that, so that also that person can understand how the mind is working. When I am going forward, my mind is in a certain certainty is there. So I can see the path, so I am walking. When I'm coming backward, I can't see the path. For example, if you are going outside, if you are walking in the outside area, then definitely you have that feeling. So going forward, you know what where you go and you can see the path. Coming backward, there may be some obstacles, there may be some stones or whatever, you can't see. Then your alertness is there. The more alertness is there. So likewise, when you need to put more alert, more concentration, when you need to put your attention, 100% attention there, then you can understand how your mind is working as well. Not only the body is changing, before that, your mind is changing too. When it is difficult, so your mind is saying, oh, it is difficult, difficult. So you need to be careful. When you are going forward, it is not difficult, then your mind is saying, okay, not difficult. So likewise, every single second or split second, the mind is changing. When you understand, when you observe it, the mind is changing all the time, then you can understand, I can't control it. There's no any agenda to the mind. Mind has their not working under agenda. It works very random way. Sometimes it has very pleasurable feelings and very happy mood. Sometimes it goes very negative, very sad mood or jealousy mood. So the mind is always changing. And accordingly, the body is also changing. And with diseases and all those things also affect to the mind and the body. So when someone is mindful, that person can understand what or who I am. When someone is understand that about the person, okay, who I am, I am always suffering from maybe a sadness. Whatever happened, I am a person that looking for the sad side of that incident. Some people are like that. Some people are always find a good thing from the bad environment. So likewise, if I can understand who I am, that is very easy for me to change. So for example, if an egocentric person develop mindfulness, then that person can understand where I am going now and what I am thinking now. So then that person can change into normal behavior accordingly. So the mindfulness is one of the best to change, to overcome the egocentric view or egocentric feelings. Apart from that, in scripts also says about the metta. So if you can find metta meditation or kind of loving kindness meditation, so if you can spread loving kindness, then you are having kind, your thoughts are changing from egocentric thoughts to loving kindness thought. So you need to practice it again and again, repeatedly. Then your background thoughts are accordingly will correct. So that means when you have egocentric view or something as making egocentric thoughts, when you see something or when something happen, then that person get the egocentric thoughts accidentally or abruptly, that the mindful person, if that person is practicing loving kindness, that person can change egocentric thoughts into loving kindness thoughts. So for all of that, we need to find who I am. To find who I am, we need to have ongoing practice on mindfulness. So the mindful sitting also make an in-depth knowledge about who I am. Rather than, not rather than, but mostly the walking meditation or the sakmana or the walking mindful walk is giving you idea of how your body is changing while you are walking, while when you are turning in the at the end of the path, when you are holding your leg on air before you put your leg on the floor. So you can feel those things, that feelings make you the vibration or movements of your body. But while you are sitting, when you are practicing mindfulness, while you are sitting, your mind is going in depth. So then you can find who you are with thoughts and feelings. Then you can understand what kind of thoughts and feelings are surrounded me all the time. So those thoughts and feelings are the one either make harmful or harmless. So if someone is sitting more quiet often for mindful sitting, practicing mindful sitting, that person can understand more of his or her emotional side. So both are very important, mindful walk or mindful sitting. Both are very important for practice because then you can understand who you are very easily. And the day-to-day activity is also very helpful because day-to-day, not while you are walking or not while you are sitting, the most of the stuff bring in day-to-day life. So while you are working in the office or while you are at home or while you are walking to supermarket, those are the day-to-day activities and daily life. So that time, if you can understand, if you can be mindful about your thoughts and feelings, then you can understand yourself very easily. So anyhow, if you understand yourself very easily, or if you understand yourself, that understanding gives you an idea about others. How then? Just imagine if you know when you are angry, how your thoughts are running. When you are angry, how your feelings are racing and heat up your body. So if you know that, then you can understand that when other people, someone else is angry, then that person is also suffering from the same same symptoms. So that person is also not in a happy mood. So that you can understand while you are being mindful about yourself and understanding yourself. Once you understand yourself, then you can put your that knowledge or inferential knowledge into the others' feelings. When you do that, when you understand others' feeling, you develop naturally empathy. If you can understand their my neighbor is in a sad mood, so he or she is not in well condition, is suffering, emotionally suffered. So if you can understand the other person, the relationships, the connections will develop with the neighbor, with the office colleagues, within the family. So when once you are having a good kind of understanding about the others' emotional feelings, then you can develop good connections. When you develop good connections, that means you develop good relationships. So once you go having good relationships and good making you good connections, you are becoming a good communicator. So good communicator, or if you have good communication skills, then very easy for you to have good a member of a good society. Because everybody accept you. Because if you are giving your hands for everyone with the empathetic view. So that empathetic view make yourself happy and others happy, making yourself and others happy, that connections are happy mood, in a happy mood, and the relationship of others with you is becoming more and more stable. So all for these activities start from mindfulness practice. So if someone is practicing mindfulness, then that person can overcome even egocentric views, also any other negative views, negative thoughts, negative feelings that can overcome with mindfulness practice. So doing mindfulness practice, we dissolve mostly self-view. That egocentric view is the self-view that we always think, okay, here is I am. All those things are mine. And the others are my enemies. These are my friends. So we categorize according to this self-view. So when we be mindful, one thing is we get the self-understanding, and then we can understand others, the other people. Then we can develop a lot of good friendships and good relationships, and then we can have good communication skills. So those are usual need of society. So we can develop that skills as well. In the other hand, we can develop to dissolve the self-view. We no need to do that. That is why we practice most of the time. We need to dissolve the self-view. If we can dissolve self-view, that means the mind as me, and the mindful with mindfulness, then you can understand there's no me. So that means I don't need to grasp anything or making any hatred feelings towards others. So the grasping and the hatred is the two sides of the one coin. So if I grab one side, that's always contain the other side too. So thinking of that, the mindful person is not engaged with any grasping or any hatred feelings. So that is the other part of mindfulness practice. So one, we can overcome the egocentric views, and we can overcome the egocentric feelings, and then we can develop mindful good relationships and good connections and good communication. And in that sense, we can have a socially acceptable personality. In the other hand, not only the mundane, but we can develop selfless view. Without very strong self-view, we can develop selfless view, and we can develop some kind of pleasurable mindset without any having any grasp or any tanha, any desires for any strong desires for anything, or any hatred feeling for anything. So we can be in the middle by practicing mindfulness. So in two ways, either in social or normal day-to-day life, we can develop good personality. Also, we can develop a middle path to go through this life. So mindfulness is the best remedy for egocentric personality, to avoid the egocentric personality as well as dissolve the self-view. So saying that, I hope you will get something from that, and we need to consider you. Even though we are not egocentric people, we are maybe most of us are normal people. Still, if we can invite our mindset to step outside and be mindful and open your eyes to deeper relationships and good experiences to develop good society and good friendship. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. So today's topic was egocentrism, and we will discuss this next week as well. Just so that all our listeners are aware, we are welcoming anyone who wants to suggest a topic that they would like to be discussed in the presented by Bante or Venerable Rohini in the coming weeks. Please write to us or send your suggestions on the chat. And we will put it on our list and make sure that we accommodate your request. If you want to write to us later, it's beginnersnv@gmail.com. So if you want to write to us, please welcome any method of communication on letting us know what you'd like to be discussed. So next on the agenda, we will move on now is the Q&A and reports. For this session, I will warmly welcome Chamari to start this session.
Thank you, Sonali. So this is the part of the program we go through the beginner's instructions of the practice. Anyone who is a beginner who is watching on Zoom or Facebook Live or even afterwards listening to a recording. So what Nisaranwane has come up with is two short videos. One is mindful walking. So the link is on the screen now, which Sonali has shared, and one for mindful sitting. So for a beginner, it's just allocating a small time every day, even starting with 5 minutes and gradually increasing the time to, let's say, 1 hour a day of walking, 1 hour a day of sitting. And then the good thing is you can actually write down a reflection report of your practice, both sitting part of the practice and walking, and also include the daily mindfulness in the same report. And when you send it, there are two methods of sending. One is via email beginnersnv@gmail.com, and the other one is Google Form. I think I will explain how the Google Form works after going through, what can be included in the mindfulness reflection report. So with the walking, just how the prominent sensations were felt, like texture of the ground, pressure points on the soles, how the body weight shifted from one leg to another, any other sensations you pick up in that practice can go in there. And then with the sitting, again, how the body felt when you first sat down, pressure points, incoming, outgoing breath, and whether you're, you know, recognizing it at the nostrils, raising of the abdomen, things like that. Because when you send it, the Venerable will give us feedback, and then we can improve our practice further. So with the Google form, it you have to actually have an email address, and all of the questions there, all of the parts there are required questions, and you start with giving the name. Date is not your date of birth, but just today's date, and the email address. Just select the country, the region that you're actually sending the report from, and whether you're an adult or a child. And the final question is writing your practice report here, or a question. If it's a question, just type your question here. And then just click on the submit button, and then it'll be received by the group, the admins, and then they will come up with the presentation of the question or the report in the next session. So I think that is it for the beginner's guide. So there is one report received today, and with the Venerable's permission, I will read it out. Mindful walking. Walked outdoors. The awareness was on feet movements. Noted the usual sensations of body weight shifting, lighter feeling of lifted foot, hardness of the other foot pressed against the ground, etc. Thoughts noted as passing like the wind, not distracting nor interested in them. Pace of walking changed when going uphill. Breath was faster at the beginning of walking and reduced after a while. Less attention needed with walking, and awareness of the machine-like process of walking continued. Walked for 45 minutes. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion. After a quick body scan, the posture adjusted. Breath noticed near nostrils. Differences of in and out breath reduced, and breath became subtle. Comfort in body and calmness in mind noted. When they arose, thoughts would pass in the background, not clear what they were, nor any interest in them. Pulsating noted in body, like energy arising, coming to a peak and dropping away. A subtle breath noted again. Pressure in knee area noted and watched it. No posture change happened. Breath had become prominent again. Sat for an hour. Mindfulness during the day. Noted few times last week how object in mind brings up different feelings, such as happiness, sadness, confidence, dislike, peace. Experimenting with changing the object in mind happened next. At times it was an easier process. At other times it needed some effort. Experienced how prominent dislike would change. Other times continued to observe the emotion, and it had peaked and changed to some other object while without any intervention. Fascinated by observing mind. Dear Venerable, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you. Theravan Saranai. That's the end of the report, Venerable Rohini.
Yeah. As always, it's a nice report and a complete report, and the facts the person write down was very how do I say the they are similar walking and sitting and the day-to-day activities they are going similarly. So then I can see it is a very successful report. And in sitting, I just noted that the person also noted there's a breath and there's a subtle breath and there's a calmness. So three situations or three state of minds are describing there. The breath, the understanding of breath, in breath and out breath, and then it goes to the subtle level, and then the calmness comes. And for a while, the calmness is there, and then subtle breath is appearing again. So that is a very normal. That always when we practice sitting, the cycle of these things are happening. Maybe three, four cycles per 1 hour time. One sitting, you can absorb or you can experience this three or subtle breath and the breath and the calmness like that. So those are cycling one after another. It is changing. That changing nature is there. Even not with the not only with the thoughts. It always says thought also is coming, but not noticed. And whatever the thoughts are, come and go. So it is also showing that the calmness of the mind. So the three state of mind is explaining here. One is very calm. The other one is observing very prominent breath. And the third one is the breath is slowing down or the it is getting subtle, very, very soft. So those three mind status are very important because you can understand then the mind is always even not thoughts only, but the mind state is also changing. Although we want to have that calm mindset, the calm state of mind all the time. Most of here, my dayaka, sometimes they when they do meditation, they say, okay, it shows that they like to be in the calm state of mind, but it is hard. So it's always changing. The changing nature is showing us it is not permanent. Usually the body is not permanent, it's very easy to understand. A child is child. The child can't do anything. He's only lying on the somewhere and only eat something, only drink something, not eating even. So that person, that baby grows up like us. So we can see the changing pattern of the body. But it's hard to see the changing pattern of the mind. In here, this if someone is thoroughly read or thoroughly try to understand this report, that report says even the mind state after going through some kind of meditation, some kind of mindfulness practice, even there, the mind is changing. It is not in a calm position for long. It is changing to the subtle breath or the complete breath. So likewise in the walking, mindful walk, it explained the same thing. The body weight is shifting, and after that, thoughts are come and go, non-noticeable thoughts. So all those are showing us the changing nature. So it is very good report, and the day-to-day life also, the happy mood, sad mood, excited, all those are changing without my permission. That is the important thing. Without that person's permission, the mind is changing time to time. Even in a split second, it's changed. So that nature of mind and the body, if we gradually we understand that, the gradual understanding lead us to have a quiet, comfortable lifestyle. Because anything can happen to me, but I am not going to shake. There's no shaken mind. because I am addicted to, oh, I am well known to this changing of mind. So this is a good report, and thank you for sending us. And this continue, please continue like this, and good one, yeah.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. So this is the point where in the program we can take any questions if you have any, and please, if you do, raise your Zoom hand and we can help you to unmute and ask the question. Yes, Sonali, please unmute and ask the question.
Thank you, Chamari. So this is actually just to thank Venerable Rohini to because she told me something that I haven't done before. This is the backward walking, and I actually had a lot on my mind this morning, and I wasn't sure if I was going to even be able to meditate, but because of the backward walking, because of the level of concentration it needed, I was able to concentrate on that. So I decided this is a good method to observe when I have a mind that I can't, you know, some days there are unsettled days. So those days, this is a good method. So it's more of an observation. Thank you, Venerable Rohini.
You're welcome. Thank you for saying that.
Thank you, Sonali, for that sharing. Yeah, I've found it really useful as well. I have actually been introduced to it a while ago by Lokuswami Nuanse, and it was fun to do at the beginning. So today it was another opportunity. Yeah. Anyone else? Any questions? Any sharings? This is your golden opportunity while the Venerable is here.
I hope next week, Venerable Kusala Swaminathan will explain the topic wide angle. So he will come and do that, hopefully.
Okay. Chamila, if you can unmute and ask the question.
Yes. Hi, everybody. Reverend Rohini. What is in my mind is like now when we are in this corporate world, we are always told to have a personal branding and to, you know, to sell yourself and to show that, you know, you are doing this and all that. And now, is it the same as being egocentric? I sort of, it gets confused. And I'm not sure whether when we are doing personal branding, whether we should talk so high about ourselves and whether it's the ego that is with us. Can you just explain it, Manio, please? Thank you.
Yes, sure. Yeah, so, you know, ego is, we all of us has that kind of ego. So ego is there until you get fully enlightenment. So the ego is there. The ego is mainly like a delusion. So it is a delusion. So ego is there. Everyone has the ego. But eccentric or going extreme is the bad thing. When we came to these countries from Sri Lanka, New Zealand, London, England, Australia, or those countries, when we writing our CV, we need to sell ourselves. So we are writing, you know, I am so and so, I am having this skills and that skills, and I have this and that qualification. Yeah, we are selling, yes. That is the generation need. So that is kind of social need. So that is, we are doing that. In the beginning, it is, for me, it was so hard to write the CV because in Sri Lanka, we don't say I can do this. Normal people, I mean, usually they don't say I can do this and I can do that and I have this and I have that. So it is so hard for me to, in the beginning, to write down the CV with my old qualification and all those things. But naturally, when we understand that is the need of the society, need of the economic society, so then we have to sell ourselves. So it is not when we write CV or when we are selling ourselves, it is not like egocentric. It is the must to do to survive. We have to do that for survive. Otherwise, you can't go to the asking for work. You have to sell yourself. What kind of abilities are or skills with you, and you have to sell it. So saying that, that is not egocentric. That is the needed. So we need to provide it because it, the society itself is contained with that. You need to have, you, it is a competitive world. The, to face the competitive world, you have to sell yourself to survive. So that is, the sell means not you are selling your brand or your skills you need to show. So that is not the egocentric personality. The egocentric personality, even in our houses, at home also, if you watch your children or if you watch your neighbor's children or when they are having get-togethers, if you watch thoroughly the children, some children are very selfish. They even in kindergarten, you can see that they are grabbing all things, grab, and not going giving to anyone. Then later on, they will solve that problem. But you might see those things. Those are the egocentric kind of behavior. Only myself. This myself is centered and everything else is not important. Some children are like that. Even some grown-ups are like that. Some husbands, some wives, are like that. So you can understand it. Egocentric people or egocentric attitude is like everything is focused on me. Even food, it should be my way. Even the car or the house, it should be my way. So everything is centered around me. So that is kind of egocentric. In this society, usually, because we have to face the competitive world, even especially in Sri Lanka, the competition is there in education, in any corporate sections, everywhere is competition. Because of the poverty, there's a competition. So likewise, in the world, there are so many difficulties we have to face. So when we have that kind of difficulties and when we have that kind of challenges, we build up some kind of self-view. We need to have that. That is not egocentric, but we are trying to survive. That's what I want to say. But you are being mindful, you are practicing mindful, then you can understand what kind of thinking, what kind of emotions I am carrying. So when you understand that, you can judge yourself whether I am egocentric or not. Actually, when you are practicing mindfulness, you can't be like that. Because always you think of the others also. When we are not disturbing others, we are closing the doors. I mean, mindful person. We are closing the doors very slowly and without making big noise. So we are thinking of others. We are thinking of other beings. So in that sense, a mindful person can't be, but the branded things we have to do. So don't worry about that. It is not egocentric, but practice, please practice mindfulness.
Understood, Manu. Thank you so much. Much merits.
Thank you, Chamila, for that very important question, because I think we are all in the mundane world and trying to balance these two. So it's a really great way to hear the feedback as well from Venerable Rohini. So are there any more questions, comments, any sharings? We can take another minute to maybe see. Looks like, yeah, there don't seem to be any questions or comments or sharings. So Sonali, I think it's at the time I hand back to you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Shamari. Beautifully presented. I have a small announcement to make. Many of you know very well Poonamantha was. He was the start, beginning host from the beginning of this program, and he did a lot of the groundwork for a weekly program. And today marks the 3 month death anniversary of Namantha, so I think we should all give some merit to him and think of him at this point. So if you could all have him on your mind, and please pass on your merits to him at this point, please.
Can I kindly ask what happened? I didn't know you and what something.
Yes, so 3 months ago he passed away. You may have missed the session where we announced that. He was suffering from a cancer, and he was ill for a while. 3 months ago he passed. So today marks the third 3 month death anniversary. So thank you, everyone. Please keep him in your mind and pass on merits. So with that, on behalf of all the organizers, I would like to thank Venerable Rohini for your guidance on today's program. And also our usual teacher, Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, for his practice as well. And of course, not forgetting the Chief Abbot of Nisaranawaneya, who requested to initiate this program as well, who was Bante Udaviriyagama Dhammajiva Mahathero. We will pass on all our merits to improve their own practice at this point as well. And thank you to everyone who is watching, and all the organizers behind the scene who's pushing to make sure this program runs smoothly. And as usual, we will have the next session at 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time. And I think it is now time to end the session. So may you all have a happy and mindful week ahead.